أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Sufficiency mukammal farmale. Please complete the search, state and the rows and fill in all the gaps. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذرا مختصرا صف بنانے کا جو طریقہ اور وقت ہے وہ سمجھا دیتا ہوں، شاید ہمیں نہ معلوم ہو، واقف نہیں ہو کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم حضرت بلال رضی اللہ تعالیٰ مؤذن تھے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے زمانے میں، اور جب بھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جب تشریف لاتے تھے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم حضرت بلال کی نظر آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر رہتی تھی اور وہ کھڑے ہو جاتے تھے، پھر آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئے اور کہا کہ لا تقوموا حتی ترونی، کہ آپ مت کھڑے ہو جب تک آپ مجھے مت دیکھو. تو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پھر اس کے بحث میں فقہا نے بیان کیا کہ مقتدیوں کو امام کے یعنی کب کھڑا ہونا چاہیے، اس میں مختلف بہت سے اقوال ہے، لیکن احناف کا جو اقوال ہے امام ابو حنیفہ ان کے تین اقوال ہے کہ امام ابو اگر امام صاحب پیچھے صف سے آ رہے ہو تو جس صف سے گزریں گے اس صف وہ صف کھڑی ہوگی، اگر آگے کمرے سے آ داخل ہو رہے ہو تو جب امام صاحب کو دیکھو گے تو وہ صف کھڑی بنا لیں گے، اور اگر امام صاحب صف میں بیٹھیں گے تو احناف کا اصل قول تو یہ ہے کہ حی علی الصلاح حی علی الفلاح حی علی تین کے وقت کھڑا ہونا، اور ائمہ اربعہ کے کسی کے نزدیک امام صاحب کے کھڑے ہونے سے پہلے کا کوئی قول نہیں ہے. So just want to, just maybe because of not understanding, we have to understand when the hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, لا تقوموا حتى تروني, don't stand until you see me. As Bilal used to wait. When he used to see the Prophet ﷺ, he used to stand up. Because he used to stand up, the Prophet ﷺ told him, no, Bilal, when you see me, you stand up. So then the A'imma Arba, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, all four of them under this hadith, they have a discussion that when should the Muqtadi stand up to make the serfs? And none of the A'imma, one of the A'imma, Imam Malik says, قَدْ قَامَتِ السَّلَةِ. So everyone stays, remain seated until the Mu'adhin, the is Iqamat is said. And when he reaches a point, قَدْ قَامَتِ السَّلَةِ. Some A'imma said, حَنْيَا عَلَى السَّلَةِ, حَنْيَا عَلَى الْفَلَةِ. Until then, we should remain seated. In one hadith in Abu Dawud, one man was standing up. He said, hadith, and he says, Hada sumud, sumud, you're standing there as arrogant, standing up before. This was known to be arrogant in the Sahaba and the Tabi'in time. So to stand up before the Imam, none of the A'imma Arba say that we should stand up. Maybe because we don't know the Masla, should understand that in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even if you go into the Arab countries, they don't have the time of the Salah, they have time of the Adhan. And until the Imam Sahib doesn't come, the Muqtadis don't stand. So this is the, even according to Hadith and according to the Masla, as well, maybe we are not aware of it, is because sometimes we stand up today, you know, 2-3 sirs were standing. I mean, maybe because we didn't know the Masla, so inshallah we keep this in mind, that according to the Fiqh, that until the Muadhin doesn't stand up, the Imam Sahib doesn't come, we should try to remain seated as much as we can. Jazakallah. Allah grant us the tawfiq to do amal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Inshallah, as usual, Fridays we have tafsir. Mufti Abu Bakr, inshallah, will be delivering the tafsir. All brothers are requested to participate. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my beloved master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been given the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous tafsir, we spoke about the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this surah, Suratul Ma'un, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses a list of vices, five things that the disbelievers and the hypocrites are habitual of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the ummah to stay away from these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen those who disbelieve or who deny the requital? Ad-deen here means requital, and requital means the recompensation. And the greater or the wider meaning of this is the belief that our actions, good or bad, will have an effect, will have reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good deeds and punishment for the bad deeds. And to expand upon this even more, it is the belief in the day of Qiyamah that a time will come and we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be questioned about our lives. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hisaba yaseera. The hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us this dua, Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. And hisaba yaseera is explained in another hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that some people that will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will very lightly scan their books and say, you know, A good example would be in the teacher. He has a pile of books to mark. And he takes the first book, and he knows that this student is a good student. And I don't need to over scrutinize. So he very quickly just scans the book. And he says, okay, chalo jao. You know, you're okay to go. Even though there might be mistakes in there, but he lets him go. So this is hisab al-yasira, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, for some people, he will just scan the book and then say, okay, jao, you're good to go. And in another hadith, the opposite of that, our beloved mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that man nuqisha udhiba, that a person whose book will be scrutinized, he will be punished. Because none of us have done a'mal that are good enough to take us to Jannah. It is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take us to Jannah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to scrutinize and say, okay, on this day you missed this salah, why? On this day you committed this sin, why? We will not have an answer. So as Aisha radiallahu anha says, that the person whose book will be scrutinized, he will be punished. May Allah grant us hisab yasira. Ameen. And so, this is what is meant bid-deen over here. That's the most authentic opinion. There's other opinion. A person who disbelieves in the Quran, who disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disbelieves in the day of Qiyamah, all of these meanings equate to the same. Because the teachings of the day of Qiyamah come in the Holy Quran. They are part of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ghayra dhalik. A second point to consider is that in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying something else. And Allah is saying to us that the vices that He is calling out, the bad things, the bad a'mal and the bad deeds that He is calling out here, later on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a warning to these people. So through this verse, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that the people that are being addressed in this surah, they are not the Muslims. They are the disbelievers, they are the hypocrites. Because the Muslims, they do not disbelieve in the requital. They believe in the requital, they believe in Qiyamah. So Allah is not addressing the Muslims here. Allah is addressing the disbelievers and Allah is addressing the hypocrites. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ, He is the one who pushes aside the orphan. He is the one who pushes aside the orphan. In our Sharia and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is great emphasis on taking care of the orphan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very special connection with the orphan child. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam himself was an orphan. His father passed away whilst his mother was still expecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother passed away when he was just 6 years old. His grandfather passed away when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was only 8 years old. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself was an orphan, and he had a very close connection with the orphan, and he commanded us to be very kind to the orphan. Other mufassirin have explained that what does he mean, yadu'u al-yateem, he pushes him aside. They explain that he treats him in a derogative manner. He does not give him food. He does not give him drink. He does not give him clothes. He is stingy. If he takes the orphan under his care, he fosters the orphan, he adopts the orphan, he steals his mirath. Sometimes it happens that a child becomes an orphan, but they have a lot of wealth that their parents have left behind. So seeing the wealth, the person says, okay, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this child. But the eye is not on taking care of the child. The eye is not on the reward that Allah will give. The eye is not be, the heart is not sincere. The eye is on the wealth. If I take this child, I will get the wealth and I will become a rich person. So no, this is not his wealth. Yes, he can take some expenses for his caring of the child. If he needs a bigger car or a bigger house, or he needs extra shopping money, then that's fine. But he should give this, take care of the orphan's wealth. And when the orphan turns of an appropriate age, he should give him this. He should give him this wealth. The one story, local, Blackburn Audley, comes to mind. There were two brothers, and the parents had become divorced, and the mother remarried, and the mother was going to live at the in-law's house. So she wasn't able to take her two sons with her. So her grandfather, he stepped in and he said, I'll take care of the children, no problem, it's fine. And he says that one of the sons personally told me the story that when we turned 16 years old, we turned 18 years old, you know, of an appropriate age, he said, my granddad, he came to us with a box and he said, you know, all the child benefit I received from the moment you came into my house, this is every single penny. I've not taken a single penny. I've bought you up with my own wealth and my own hard-earned money, and this is your money. I'm not going to touch it. It's for you. This is true taqwa and true sincerity. He took these children. He could have easily taken the child benefit and said, no, I'm looking after the children. I'll spend it on the children. And no, but that wouldn't have even been wrong. But he took these steps. And now he has passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and fill his grave with his noor. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So the Mufassireen write that Yadu'ul Yateem includes not fulfilling the hukuk and the rights of an orphan child. We should have, you know, a special connection with the orphan children. Why? Because when we see an orphan child, we should remember our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was also an orphan child. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he does not advise others, and he does not encourage others to feed the needy as well. So here we have yatim and we have miskin. Yatim means the orphan child, miskin means the needy one. He does not even, so ikhtar, number one, he doesn't take care of the orphan himself. On top of that, he doesn't even tell other people that, you know, he doesn't like it when other people are generous as well. This is true stinginess and true bukhl. That not only does he dislike spending on the poor and the orphan child, but he doesn't like it when other people also spend on the poor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he doesn't even like spending on other people. And the ulama write a beautiful point here. And they write that these two qualities that Allah is talking about, taking care of the orphan and taking care of the needy, is something that not only Islam endorses, and is something that not only Islam encourages, but every single religion in the world encourages spending on the poor. If you say, no, this person is a very generous person and he spends on the poor, every person in the world will attest to the fact that it's a very good quality to have in you, whether this person is an atheist, whether this person is a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu, whatever. They will all attest to the fact that spending on the orphan, spending on the poor people is a good quality. The scholars write that these verses were revealed about disbelievers such as As bin Wa'il, and others have written that it was regarding Walid bin Mughira. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. That sorrow and hardship be for that prayer of salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The one who is neglectful of his salah. A question arises here that earlier we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the disbelievers. So how can the disbelievers don't pray namaz? So who is Allah talking about here? So the answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the hypocrites. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they claim to be Muslim, but they were not really Muslim inside. So when the adhan would go, they would come to the masjid and they would pray salah. But then if they were out traveling, they wouldn't pray salah. In their homes, they wouldn't do zikr. They wouldn't pray tahajjud. They wouldn't pray nafil. It was all for show. And for this verse and the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically addressing the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قَامُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. That when they stand to salah, they stand in laziness. Yeah, they don't want to really pray namaz, but they're just doing it so that people will say, oh yeah, he's a Muslim too. Because they're hiding their true nature. So, the next point is that what the ulama write over here is that sometimes Muslims, genuine Muslims, not hypocrites, genuine Muslims, we by mistake or sometimes a little bit of laziness as well, we miss our salah. You know, it's Fajr time and our eyes open and we're very, very tired and we turn over and fall asleep. Shaitan puts us to sleep. It happens. We are human as well. And sometimes we'll be praying salah, but you feel lazy. It's a natural thing. And this is our struggle. If it was easy to pray salah, we wouldn't get reward. We wouldn't have such a great reward for it. It's our struggle. And sometimes we're praying salah and our mind gets distracted. We go here or there. Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about these instances where these things happen to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the hypocrites where they are constantly and consistently and continuously missing their namaz, and it's not by mistake, it's on purpose. This is their nature. They don't want to pray salah. They are not Muslim. They pretend to pray salah. So they sometimes, even at times, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they were traveling, and it was towards the latter portion of the night, and the jama'ah were tired. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, the Sahaba, go to sleep, I'll wake everybody up. This hadith is in Mu'atta Malik. He said, I'll wake everybody up, no problem. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, just like Mufti Sahib mentioned now, he was the Muazzin as well. So he says, what happened was, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala sat down and he was kneeling on his camel. And he faced towards the place of sunrise. That when the heat of sunrise starts to hit me, just in case I fall asleep. He wasn't planning on falling asleep, he was planning on just sitting there. But he thought to himself that in case I fall asleep, I'll face towards the sunrise so that he will wake me up and will be ready for Fajr Salah. But what happened was, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was waiting, and he fell asleep. Now, what happened was, the sun rose, and then the sun was fully risen and the heat hit Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and he quickly woke up. Oh no, Fajr is gone. And he's panicking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namaz, the Sahaba's namaz, it's all because of me. So he goes and he wakes the congregation up, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh no, it's okay. He commanded the jama'ah to move on from that place. He said that, this valley has shayateen in it. And they moved away from the place. And when the sun had fully risen and the makruh time had completed, Then Rasulullah commanded Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and he made the azan and they prayed salah qada. So the lesson is that these things happen. Yeah, it happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And these things happen sometimes just, without planning. Obviously, without planning, it just happens sometimes that you've had a late night and you've had a tough night, you've had a rough night, you fall asleep and then you wake up. But the action to do here as a true Muslim is to make istighfar. Ya Allah, please forgive me. I made a mistake. Allah, please give me tawfiq to keep waking up for Fajr in the future. And we pray our qadha, and we try to pray qadha before we pray the next salah as well. And that's a different mas'ala regarding the sahib tartib. Inshallah, another time we'll go into that. But the ulama are explaining here that the verses here are not talking about instances where we feel lazy or anything like that. This is the description of the hypocrites at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the next verse, Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. The people, they pray to show off. يُرَاؤُون means they pray so that people can see them. Riyakari. In Urdu, we call it riyakari. And they're doing it for the people. Again, the description is of the munafiqeen. They prayed salah. Why did they pray salah? So people would call them, oh, this person is, he's a musalli, he's a Muslim. But the true sincerity of intention was not there. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that there is a place in Jahannam. There's a place in Jahannam every 400 times a day. 400 times a day, Jahannam itself asks Allah for refuge from this area of Jahannam. Jahannam itself says to Allah, Ya Allah, save me from this part of me. That's how bad this part of Jahannam is. 400 times a day, Jahannam says, makes dua to Allah, that, Ya Allah, I seek refuge from this part of Jahannam. And this part of Jahannam is reserved specifically for the people who do riyakari, and who show off, and they do the ibadah only to show the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from showing off and give us true sincerity of intention. It's shaitan will try his very best to make us feel like that. You know, you're praying, sometimes you have good intentions, you know. And it's of importance to hide our good a'mal as well regarding giving charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you should give charity so secretly that one hand doesn't even know that the other hand is giving it. That, you know, some people, you have this this custom. Sometimes I saw it once. I went to the masjid in Bolton, and the big board there, the number one, the biggest donor, and the names there written on the board, and this is how much they've given. Subhanallah, how does this come in line with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, like, this, I'm giving this many thousands to the masjid. Are you giving it for the community, or are you giving it for Allah? Are you giving it so people will call you a rich man, a generous man? Are you giving it for Allah? You know, on the day of Qiyamah, there's a famous hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call three people, a rich person, an alim, a rich person, an alim, and an abid. And he'll be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the rich person that, oh, rich person, you know, you did so much in your life, what have you got to say? So he says, Ya Allah, you gave so much money, generous, I did it for you. So Allah says, Kadabta, you lie. You did it so the people can call you rich. And they've called you rich. Your whole life, they've applauded you and they've given you the credits. And they've said, oh, you know, ito, bo pai hade. Yeah? Now you've got that now. That's your reward done. Go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels and they throw him into Jahannam. And he says, on alim, that, oh, you know, what have you got to say? So he says, Ya Allah, I gained knowledge and I spread it for you. He said, you lie. You did it so that people could call you an alim and respect you. And this has been done. You never did it for me, so I'm not going to give you anything today. You did it for the people. They gave you respect, they gave you love, they gave you wealth. Go to Jahannam now. And the same thing will be for an abid. So Allah will say that, you know, what did you do? He said, Allah, I worshipped you. He said, no, you worship me to show the people. And they've called you an abid, they gave you respect. Now you've got your requital, you've got your recompensation, you've got your reward. Now go to Jahannam like that. So these verses, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, they teach us, Allah is indirectly commanding us that have sincerity. The people will give you nothing. Yeah, today, you're the best. Tomorrow, an allegation comes against you. That's it. You chucked out of the masjid. You can't even come in the masjid. And people give you dirties. An allegation comes across. Today, this is the nature of people, that one day you're the best, and the next day you're nothing. This is why it should be that a person with true sincerity, the whole dunya can come and say, oh, you're so amazing. It should not affect him in the least. And the whole dunya could come against him and say to him that, oh, you're like this. It should not affect him in the least. He knows his position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we all know ourselves best. Yeah, we know our true position. And Allah knows better than us our true position. So it should not affect us that, oh, someone called me an alim today. Someone called me this today. No, it should not affect us. We know what the intention is in our hearts. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us true sincerity. Ameen. And then finally, the last verse, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, and they restrict the ma'un. Basically, ma'un means, you know those items that we have in our house that we share with one another without thinking twice about it. For example, someone comes to our house, say, you want a cup of tea? Do we think to ourselves, ki, one tea bag is going to go away. You know, Aldi is going to be expensive now as well. But no, we don't think like that. It's a few biscuits, cup of tea. I try to have some water, a bit of drink from the fridge. You know, these things, your neighbor comes and says that, oh, you know, can I borrow a pot? I need to cook for this many people today, but I don't have the correct size pot. Can I just borrow it? And I'll give it. Yeah, you just give it. You don't say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. So these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things that are normally, the English word of it is just slipping me at the moment. But those things that are normally, people don't think twice about it. Oh, have you got a tissue? So you don't start counting your tissues. Now there's other things that you will start thinking twice about. If someone says, well, can I borrow your car? Actually, no, you can't borrow my car. Because it's worth a few £1,000. And no, it's my car. It's not just something that's normal. But other things, you know, like someone, they won't say to you, can I borrow your clothes? Although this can be, depending on the time and depending on the situation or place you're in, such circumstances can come where people borrow clothes. But there are certain things that are given freely without thinking twice about it. And there are certain things that, no, you don't really often give it unless it's a close family member or something like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing these things in Arabic that are known as al-ma'un. In Urdu they call it giri pari cheese, like just little things around the house that you don't really think twice about. Other ulama say that here is the vice number 5. So they say that it's bukhl, it's stinginess. Others say that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who refuse to give charity, who refuse to give zakah. So, in two ways it fits in. Number one, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, there was a group of people that refused to give zakah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala declared war upon these people. They said, if they refuse to give salah, they have gone out, they have apostatized, and they have gone out of the fold of Islam. And he said, he declared war against these people. And he said, they will not even stop, I think it's one dirham, so long as there is life in Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So, in that context, it fits in with the munafiqeen, that they will not give zakah. In the other, according to the other narration, we're talking about stinginess, zakah is a mere 2.5%. It's an extremely small portion. It's a very, very small amount. So, a person who refuses to give zakah, that guy is a stingy person. Because 2.5%, you know, we spend money on all sorts of, we go to a restaurant and we spend £50, £60 a head on steaks, on this, on that. we'll spend £5 on drinks, on jug of mango lassi, this, that, whatever it might be. But when it comes to 2.5% once a year, Allah is saying that on the day of your zakat, whatever wealth you have, whatever surplus wealth you have, 2.5% is such a small amount. The person who struggles to give that, or the person who doesn't give that, he truly is a stingy person. Yeah. So when it comes into this, the meaning of bukhl and stinginess, then it ties in with both opinions. The first being that he is not giving his zakah. The second being that he is a stingy person. This is also a habit and one of the descriptions of the kuffar and the munafiqeen, that they were, you know, they didn't like spending on the poor people. We should spend on the poor, you know, like they say, sadqa se maal mein kami nahi aati. That when we spend on the poor, we feel like, you know, I've got £100 in my account or £1,000 in my account. If I give £100 to the poor, then I'll be a 900. My account's going down. I'm feeling poverty here. No, this is not how it works. The more money you spend in the path of Allah, the more barakah you will get. If you don't believe me, try it. Honestly. I remember once my respected ustaz, the Sheikh Mullah Bilal Sahib, Dabal Barakatuh, he mentioned about a local in Berry, I think he was in Berry, that he had a habit that whenever he needed the amount of money, he would give 10% of that into charity. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha." That a person who brings one deed, I will give him 10 times the fold. So he used to do the maths in his head. Now I need 500 quid. So how will Allah give me 500? If I put £50 in charity, then Allah will give me 500. So he goes that this became my habit. If I needed a new car for £10,000, I put £1,000 in charity, and somehow or the other, over the next coming month, I'd see that I can afford that £10,000 corner. And he goes, this became my habit, the sincerity of it, and the ikhlas, and the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you are in a position of a little bit of poverty, or you know, your pocket's tight, to give charity in that moment when you, you know, like when you're trying to save every penny, you know, you'll walk to town instead of driving it because you save a few pennies here or there, you know, you'll avoid having a few takeaways because you're saving a few pennies. In that moment, when you go and spend some money in the path of Allah, imagine how much Allah loves this. That my banda is having so much faith in me that whatever he's got, he's giving it to the poor in the hope that I'll give him more. You think Allah's going to turn this person away? Of course not. So he says that this individual, it was his habit, and he goes throughout his life, it worked every single time. So we should also have this mindset. And no, you know, if someone, a family member comes, is some charity project, or is building a house, we should always try and give something, always. And the more we give, the more Allah will give us. The more we give, the more Allah will give us. You know, it says about Hazrat Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahimahullah, and I'm going to finish on this story, something my mother told me herself, that, you know, this EG, everyone knows about EG, these billions and billions. He says, all of this is that obviously their father, the brothers, the EG brothers' father, Hazrat Wali Bhai Barucha, Ramatullah Ali, has passed away now. He was one of the earliest members of the Tabligh Jama'ah. And he was a very, very close associate of Hazrat Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahimahullah. And Hazrat Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahimahullah used to, you know, like when he used to come to Blackburn, he used to go to the ulama. He used to go to Mufti Abdul Samad Sahib, Zaralum, and he had a habit of coming. I remember many years ago, he came here as well to me in Ramzan after Fajr to me. Hazrat Mullah Ismail Wadi Sahib Rahimahullah, and he had a habit of going to visit the ulama. So when he used to go to the Darul Uloom, he used to give some charity. So he used to say to Wali Bhai, "Lao, half pound, lao, give me £100. He used to take it out of his pocket, he used to give it him. He goes that, "Tu ni de ni Allah pe." And he used to, this was the kind of, and Wali Bhai Rahimahullah was very, very happy with this circumstance, and he was extremely happy, and he would always give it. And Hazrat Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahimullah used to always make dua for Wali Bhai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that, you know, Allah give you barakat. And, you know, before he, you know, we all know Wali Bhai, you know, Rahmatullah Alayhi, mashallah, Allah give him so much wealth, so much wealth. But this all comes from giving. This all comes from giving and giving and giving. And the sacrifice that Wali Bhai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi gave for the sake of Tabligh, you know, only few people might know how much sacrifice this individual gave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have rahmah and mercy and fill his grave with his light as well. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So to summarize, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first of all in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out the hypocrites and the disbelievers for not taking care of the orphans, not taking care of the needy, for pretending to pray salah, for not giving zakah, etc. At the same time, in the verse, Allah says, "Fawailu lil musallin," sorrow and hardship be for these people. Allah is giving us, yes, we might not be, the Muslim ummah might not be addressed here in the surah, but at the same time, Allah is giving us an ishara, and He's giving us an indication that, hey, listen, this is for them, but you make sure that you don't fall into this as well. You make sure you take care of that orphan child. You take care of the miskeen and the needy person. You pray your salah properly. Yeah, you give your zakah. Be generous. The overall message of this is, along with being punctual with our salah, is be generous. Be generous. Stop being stingy. Be generous. Allah will give you more. You know, if we do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the Quran, "In shakartum la azidannakum." If you do shukr, will increase. So, we mentioned in one of the previous bayans that one way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by doing good deeds. That, ya Allah, you've given me this wealth. I'm going to thank you for giving me all of this wealth by spending myself as well. Yeah. So then, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Ya Allah, I'm thanking you by spending in charity. Allah will increase. At the same time, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. In another hadith, my Nabi alayhi salam said that the person who doesn't have mercy, Allah will not have mercy on him. Yeah. So this is also a form of mercy. When we spend on the poor and the needy, it's a form of mercy. Allah will have mercy on us. You know, when the time comes when we're standing in front of Allah and we're in need, then Allah will look at us with mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with hisab yaseera. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us generous and give us the tawfiq to do good deeds. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.